terrible childhood and dealt with it by filming his parents and grandparents being incredibly awful. And he edited it together and made this documentary out of it. It cost him $212 American to make. And it went to Cannes this year, to the Cannes Film Festival. And it's widely critically acclaimed. It's a $212 feature film. But he put some music in it. And clearing the music for that $212 film cost $400,000. Right? So there are people who are capable of making art house movies now for $212 that are critically acclaimed, but as soon as you start to add music to them, it puts it back into the realm of professional studios with professional lawyers and professional budgets, right? And it means that a great deal of creativity gets sucked away. And then the last example I'll give, it's another fraught example, is DJ Danger Mouse, who's a remix DJ, hip-hop DJ, who he took an album by the Beatles called The White Album, and an album by a rapper named Jay-Z called The Black Album, and he combined them into something he called The Gray Album, which was very good. I'm actually spontaneously going to give you some multimedia here. Do you guys know The White Album, Beatles fans? So, this is probably only white.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest. Turn music up in the headphones.
So this is a beautiful love ballad by Paul McCartney called Julia. Mixed in with it's pretty amazing. I really like that song. So DJ Danger Mouse makes this record and he presses a couple thousand of them, you know, out of his own pocket. He doesn't sell them, he just gives them to friends, and a few music critics get hold of it and they start to write about it. And they start to write about it not just as an interesting disc, but as like the interesting disc, the most amazing and original new thing they've heard in God knows how long, and singing its praises to the sky. And Jay-Z's pretty cool with it because it's, you know, free publicity for him and his new album. But EMI, not the Beatles actually, but EMI, who own the Beatles publishing rights, this is not even a creator but a publishing entity, freaks out and starts to demand that this art stop existing, right? They start to use copyright as a club to make a work of art that's critically acclaimed, that has a popular audience, that, note this, doesn't actually undermine their business at all. You know, it's not like people who've heard The Gray Album will say, well, that's it, I don't need to buy The White Album. By dint of having the exclusive right to authorize the use of Beatles music in other forms of music, demand that this work of art cease to exist. It's a great perversion, in my view, of copyright. But I think that it points to kind of what the future of works can be. The Beatles are actually an amazing subject of remix now. There's tons and tons of Beatles remix going on for a lot of reasons. One is they're very familiar source material. Another is that they were early experimenters with stereophonic sound. So in many instances, you can isolate the vocals by isolating either the left or the right channels. So you can strip them off the album, and they were you know, sort of ahead of their time. And for me, as someone who was a Beatles fan when I was very young, went into mourning when John Lennon was shot and so on, and who just sort of heard the whole catalog to the point where I kind of got sick of it and stopped listening to it,